know, Pastor, I've never went into prayer and had God say, may I take your order, please? how would you like that cooked? Yeah. What would you like on it? And what sides would you like?
Mm-hmm.
Never once have I heard God do that to me when I went into prayer.
You didn't pull up to the drive-up prayer window?
No.
Oh, man.
The only thing I had, what I have, is the praise report on Mignon's puppy dog Shadow. He doesn't have diabetes. Woohoo! God even cares about the puppy dogs. Mm-hmm.
God cares about what you care about, for sure,
yeah.
Doesn't he? You know, I do want to pray for John Ternas and his wife, Wilma. I mean, when your loved one's going through something, you're going through it, obviously. And we want to continue to pray for Cody Highsmith. He's also fighting a battle. And for my friend Jonathan. And for our friend Jody Miller. And everyone I just mentioned, every single one of those that I just mentioned, are battling against and standing in faith against cancer.
And then Charity Maples posted on the page, good morning. I would love for y'all to pray for my family. So yeah. Charity Maples and her family. Love you, sister.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're thankful. Thank the Lord, there are people listening right now. They've not sent in their prayer request, but Lord, right now they're saying, I know you need, I need you, God. I know you know what's going on. I hear the Spirit of God saying to me, tell my people that I see them. There's a name in the Old Testament called Jehovah El Roi, the God who sees. He sees you. Charity, he sees you. He sees your family. He sees every person in need. He sees you, John, Wilma, Cody, Jody, Jonathan. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And Father, we come before you now thanking you for the love that you have for these individual people. I'm reminded that you told us that Jesus, if you had 100 sheep, if you're like a shepherd who had 100 sheep and even just one had gone away, you would leave the 99 safe and seek and search until you found that one, because every individual is important to you. Father, we're asking you for your miraculous power to come to bear on the circumstances in every person's life who's listening to us now. Father, if they've been diagnosed and afflicted with some life-threatening disease, Lord, such as cancer, but not limited to cancer, because, Lord, it doesn't matter what the condition is, you are our answer. You have all power, all glory, and all honor go to you, Lord Jesus. And we look to you, and we ask you, Father, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told us himself, pray that way. And when we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, we are not praying vague prayers, not knowing that it is your will to heal, because Jesus, you came to this earth, and you healed every single person who came to you. We have no reason to believe that healing, physical, miraculous healing, is not your will. We have no reason to believe that it's not your will to rebuke this cancer from every body that needs it, to rebuke diabetes where it need to be done, and Father, to bring wisdom, to bring correction to our lives, to line ourselves up with that healing that we may walk in it. I pray, God, that anything that's hindering your people from receiving what they need to receive today, I pray, God, you show it to us. Give us wisdom to move the obstacles that block the flow of your anointing, to destroy the yokes of oppression and the burdens off of our lives. I speak your peace over your people, and I don't mean mamby-pamby, cuddly, cozy-feeling peace. I mean the supernatural, powerful peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that causes every chaotic storm to cease. We cast down every imagination and every high thing right now that is exalting itself against you in people's minds. Father, we take captive every thought and command those thoughts to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak the name of Jesus over every person, over their spirit first and foremost, over their minds, their heart, their soul, and their bodies. Father, I also pray for people who are believing you, Father, for provision in life, for jobs and better jobs, for sources of relief and income. And Father, we cast all this care on you and believe you care for us, and thank you for the answers right now. Thank you for the praise reports, Lord God. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. And amen.
We want to pray for Wesley Conway, who's having very serious surgery for cancer on his kidney this morning. And Boyd Whipke, his cancer has spread, and he's really struggling with that. He's 88 years old. Dolly Coote's daughter, Angelina, who had an appendectomy yesterday. We want to continue to pray for Viola Romero. She's still in isolation for COVID in Oklahoma City, and the infection had come back. We want to pray for Danielle Gamble's mom, Rose Burns. And Brian Ruth asked us to pray because he lost his mom last night.
And will you please add Sister Judy Gifford on the list? Please have Dwight pray for me. I also have issue with a tumor.
Okay.
And that's Sister Judy.
Well, Heavenly Father, we bring these names in particular before you. Father, you heard them as Tina read them. You were already aware of them before we mentioned them to you. But by mentioning them to you, Father, we are bringing ourselves into agreement with your word and your will, asking for your power to be released, Lord Jesus, to those who are mentioned, for Angelina, who had an appendectomy. Father, we're asking for such a supernatural recovery that the doctors are astounded, and that hearts are forever changed because of your goodness being manifested and advertised. Father, we are praying for Viola, Lord God, that you will visit in that isolation. She may be isolated from people, but not from you, Jesus. We ask you to walk into that very room and send COVID running. We ask it in your name. We praise you. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We pray for Danielle. We pray for Rose. We pray for Brian. Father, as Brian, Lord God, is dealing with the emotions of loss as his mom has passed from this earth into eternity, Father, we are thankful for heaven, and we're thankful for the comfort of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to comfort Brian as only you can. Let your peace, your grace be upon him and this family. And we pray, God, that during this time when hearts are tender, that you would speak your words to them, and giving them ears to hear and eyes to see. And we give you praise for that. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Wesley. We thank you, Lord God, that as they go in and do surgery, these doctors, these medical people will have supernatural wisdom. And Father, we pray that for everyone who's being treated by any form of medical technician, physician, nurse, whatever it is, Father. We leave the results to you, but we ask you, Lord God, literally to take hold. Father, if there's some surgery scheduled and it's not your will for it to take place, we pray, I don't care what you got to do, Father, cause that surgery to be postponed. You've intervened in so many ways, Lord. We ask you, we ask that your will alone be done. Father, we pray for Boyd, Lord God, and as we were praying a while ago, we know that every name I'm naming now, you was already on your heart. We thank you that cancer has no right to touch your people. No right to touch anyone, really. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to this earth in the form of a physical body, took whip marks upon your back, Lord Jesus, for our healing. The word declares it. We wouldn't even know it if you didn't tell us. But by your stripes we were healed. We have a covenant right to healing. You said in the Old Testament, I am the Lord who healeth thee. David reminded us, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits. He forgives all our sin and heals all our diseases. Psalms 103 tells us that. Lord, if you didn't want us believing you for healing, you would have left it out of your word. But you put it in your word from front to back because you wanted to use healing as an advertisement for your grace and your goodness. So we ask you to heal. Heal hearts, heal minds, heal souls, heal spirits, and yes, Lord, heal bodies. We ask it, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can wake up now, Tina.
Yes. Oh. Nap's over, sister.
Our Facebook sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is having an open house to meet the new director on February 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. They're located at 500 Lusk Avenue in Elk City. If you have any questions, you can call 580-243-2229. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
Bardice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for today is...
Yes.
Living advertisement.
Amen. Be one, you know?
Billboard for the Lord.
Yeah. You are a billboard. The question is, whose billboard are you, or what are you advertising? Because we could advertise for the Lord, we could advertise for ourselves, or we could advertise for the enemy. I think, honestly, to advertise for yourself is to advertise for the enemy, because we were built and made to glorify God and to be a reflection of Him. We are the only thing, the only being in all of creation created in the very image of God. And that's you and that's me. We're created in the very image of God to reflect God to the world, to all of creation, literally. We were reading a while ago in John's Gospel in the 4th chapter about a man, a royal official, whose desperation drove him to come and seek Jesus in order for his son to be healed, who was lying at home at the point of death. And he begged Jesus, come and go with me. In other words, that translates to this: I've got it all figured out. Here's what we need to do. You know, Jesus said, I tell you, he said, go your way, your son will live. And when the man took Jesus at his word and left, he was on his way, and immediately a servant came and said, "Hey, your son is alive. He's doing great." And he said, "What time? When did it happen?" And they told him 1 o'clock. And he said, "That's exactly the time Jesus told me. You can go. Your son will live." So I want to say this to you. What time is your breakthrough going to happen? And the answer is, in that moment, that you take God at his word. Now, you may or may not see the results immediately. When that father took Jesus at his word, that royal official took Jesus at his word, that's when the breakthrough happened. But he wasn't in a place where he could see it, was he? The breakthrough happened wherever his son was, but he couldn't see it. And I'm going to tell you this. You need to quit believing that breakthrough is coming, that your answer is coming, and believe that your answer has come. Jesus has come. If I need a healing, physical healing, he's not coming back to the whipping post to pay for it. It's already paid for. And I know that's hard for some people, some Christians, to receive. But let me ask you this. If I need forgiveness, is he coming back to die on the cross? Is he going to be buried again and descend into hell again and raised from the dead again? We all know the answer to that. No, it's done. It's finished. It's paid for. It's bought. You say, well, if Jesus died on the cross for everyone's sin, then why isn't everyone forgiven? And the simple answer is because not everyone has received it. But for anyone who has taken him at his word and said, yes, Jesus did die for my sins. Yes, Jesus is Lord of all, and he's my Lord. It says if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess him with our mouth in Romans 10:9-10, if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him with our mouth as Lord, we're saved. That he saves us, that he forgives us of our sins. Well, if that's how faith works, by believing it in your heart and saying it with your mouth, then that is how faith works, because the Bible tells us that over and over and over again. Some people say, well, I don't believe in that name it and claim it stuff. You do too. You just don't like certain varieties of it where people may take it too far in your eyesight. For your opinion, sometimes people take it too far. But that doesn't change the fact that that's how faith works. You could say, well, you know, electricity works this way. Electricity only works one way. It doesn't work your way and their way. I mean, if you want the lights to come on, you must make a connection. You say, well, we don't have switches in our house. We just go over and hook the wires back together and put a wire nut on them. We don't believe in switches. Whatever. But the one thing's for sure, you have to make a connection to the source of the power. I mean, no, I'm not talking about electricity anymore. You have to make a connection to the source of the power. And to make the connection to the source of the power with God is for you to believe him. Just take him at his word, because people get the idea, man, a sickness, a thing, a situation will come, and the devil will hammer on them, and they'll respond, and they'll say what the devil is putting into their hearts. But I don't know why God's put this on me. He didn't. Well, God's in control of everything. No, he's not. You find me that in the Bible. Find me that in the Bible, that God is literally controlling every circumstance. I know that God's aware of every circumstance. I know that in all things he works together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But if God was controlling everything, that means that everything that's being done on earth is God doing it, and that's obviously not the case. It is not the case. You see, why do we get sick? Well, it could be because we live in a sin-sick, toxic world. And when we're not walking in faith, we're walking in this world. We are physically in this world. The only thing that's going to protect you from all the stuff that's in this physical world, all the toxins, I'm talking spiritual and physical, the only thing that protects you from all the toxins around you is your faith in God. And if you're walking in faith, you're walking in his protection and his provision. But man, we're in a world where, you know, hey, our bodies age. They're created that way. We started dying the moment we were born. We're not appointed to live forever here on earth. We're appointed to live forever with the Lord. But I've got to learn how to have faith now so that I can live forever with the Lord. So, to be the advertisement that he wants to be in my life, I need to be demonstrating to all the people around me that God is real, that God is good, that God is love. And how am I going to do that? Oh, man, how can I do that? Just believe him. If he tells you something, just believe him. Amen. I want to go to the book of James. We don't have a lot of time, but we'll do what we can with it. In the second chapter of James, in the 14th verse, the Word of God says this: what good is it, my Christians, what good is it, fellow Christians, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And he asks this question: can such faith save him? Good question. He's going to answer it. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and one of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm, be well fed, but does nothing about physical needs, what good is it? Can you answer that? It's no good. It didn't accomplish nothing. He said, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and what do I do? I'll show you my faith. I'll do what? Show you my faith by what I do. Can I say it this way? I'll show you my faith by how I live. What I do is how I live. I mean, that may not be who I am, but it is how I live. What I'm doing. What do you do when a tornado comes? I know what I do. I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm just asking, what do you do? You know, what do you do when you hear an economic report of downfall? What do you hear when you hear that eggs go up? What do you do when you hear the eggs go to $7 a gallon or gas goes up or this, that? What do you do? I know what I do. I respond to the best of my ability in faith. If I have to go get myself a loan to get in that place of faith, then that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to walk around grumbling, complaining, bashing, blaming, complaining, worrying, fretting, stewing, and spreading fear and doubt and unbelief. I'm going to walk around being a person that says, I don't care how much they charge for, I do care how much they charge for eggs, but I'm still going to have them if God wants me to have them. I'm going to have gas in my car and eggs in my refrigerator. I'm going to have everything I need because my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My faith can appropriate to me anything I need. I may need to go supplement my faith. I may need to build my faith up. I can't live off of yesteryear scraps. If I want to have strong faith, what do I need? How does faith come, Monica?
By hearing,
and hearing comes by the word or the rhema of Christ. In other words, when Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, that's what Christ means, speaks to you, faith is encapsulated in those words that he spoke to you. Now, most of the time, he doesn't speak words in your physical ears. If he did, it'd scare you. He speaks into your spirit, and you hear him more loud, more clear than you could out here anyway. So don't yearn for God to speak to you in a physical, audible voice, because it'd probably freak you out. Yearn for God to speak to you in your spirit. God, oh, please today, I pray you speak to me. I pray you'd cause me to know your voice and hear your voice and respond to your voice. Because my future is not determined by my past, but how I respond to God today. Amen. That's how my future gets determined. He goes on in that passage and says, you believe that there is one God. Even demons believe that and shudder. The Passion Translation says it this way. It says, they're unchanged by it. It says, even demons believe there's one God, but they remain unchanged. They're still demons. That's what the Passion Translators. Listen, you can agree with God. You can agree with, well, you can agree with what the Bible says. You can agree with what the preacher says. That's not necessarily faith. Now, you can't disagree and call it faith. But agreement is just the first part of faith. Agreement, I read in the Bible, he forgives me all my sins. I said, well, I agree with that, and I like the sound of it, and I definitely agree with that. Now, what are you going to do with that agreement? Are you going to go around still carrying your sins, thinking of yourself as a sinner, feeling ugly about yourself, feeling beat up and beat down and how wretched you are? Or are you going to let your agreement with his forgiveness move you to a place where you say, you know what? I receive your forgiveness. I am forgiven. I'm going to walk around with my head up because, yeah, I did do some pretty dumb, stupid, sinful stuff. But that's in the past. And I'm excited. I'm excited that God forgave me. But I mean, if I didn't do stupid stuff, I wouldn't even know what forgiveness was. I'm not going to let my past haunt me. I'm going to, if anything, when I remember it, I'm going to let it exalt God in my life because, man, look what he forgave me of. Look how gracious he is. I'm not going to go around identifying as the sin I used to commit. I'm going to go around identifying as the child of God that I now am who's redeemed from that. I love what the Chosen, how they portray Mary, and the Nicodemus comes to her and he goes, what happened? Tell me about this miracle. You were, you know, she was demon possessed, seven demons. And then she wasn't. And he says, tell me what happened. What happened? And she said, I don't know that I can even explain it. But she says, I know this. I was one way and now I'm completely different. And what happened in between was him. It was him. It's the relationship with him that makes you, makes me a living advertisement of his goodness. I don't believe we have to be perfect to honor Jesus. I believe we want to strive for perfection. I believe we do. We want to strive for perfection. But you're not going to hit it. I'm not going to hit it. We're all going to fall short of the mark of God's goodness. But I'm going to tell you something. When we do, at least we're falling in the right direction. And when I lift up from that fall, I'm still facing him. When I fall or falter, I don't want to fall down because I'm running away from God and tripped over something. If I'm going to fall, I want to fall towards him. And when I get up from that fall, in my case, I'm going to be 5'7" closer to him. Depending on how fast I was running when I fell. If you're running really fast and you fall, you'll make more progress, and that fall will teach you something if you let it. Because more likely than not, when you fail, God was trying to tell you before you failed that there was something that you were fixing to trip over. And then now you say, oh, wow, I got this broke toe and this skinned up elbow. But I raised up forgiven, and now I'm a little bit wiser than I was before. And I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm not going to trip over that again. You might trip over it seven times that day. Do you know why I use that number? Because the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but seven times he arises. The world doesn't need to see you always be perfect. Because if you're just always perfect, you're so untouchable to most people that they just think there must be something special about you. The world needs to see us as we are, needy for God, frail without God, humble before God, always giving him the glory for every good thing in our life. I don't care if anybody can even remember my name. But if they meet me or they're around me, I want them to know that they've been in the presence of Jesus. And I don't always live up to that. But when I find myself not living up to that, I ask God to correct me. I ask him to forgive me, and he does. And I learn something from it. And I grow from it. And I'll decide that I want to be a little more like Jesus. And I want to be the advertisement that he wants me to be. If you feel like you failed God today, I want to tell you something. You haven't. You have not failed God. Because he saw everything in your life before you were born. And he has a perfect plan in place to pick you up and put you where you need to be. If you'll let him. But you have to do like that father did. Like that father did. You have to give up your way of having everything. And just take him at his word. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I'm aware, Lord, that you are our Savior and our healer, and you are our provider. You're everything we could ever need, want, or desire. But Father, every one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've looked to other things. We've looked to self-sufficiency. We've looked to people and plans and programs and doctors. We've depended on new medicines, Lord God. We repent of that, Father. We repent of coming before you to try to tell you how things ought to be done in our lives. We ask you to forgive us of that. We ask you to speak to us, Lord God, and draw us to that place where we just submit to what you want to do. For anyone who's listening to me today and maybe they feel separated from you by their sins, Father, I know that Jesus, you're tugging at their hearts right now. And that you would have me to tell them that they are loved and they are desired and they are, listen to me, you are not a disappointment. The very fact that you're hearing my voice right now is proof that the Holy Spirit desires you, that Jesus wants you, that Father God loves you. Receive it right now. Just say, Father, I receive your love. And then when we're done here, you go have a talk with him. You go spend some time with him and pour your heart out to him. And then put your eyes in his word and see what he's got to say to you today. We bless you. We thank you, Father, for all of your love and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.